And joining us now is Paul Campos, a professor at the University of Colorado Law School. He writes for both popular and academic audiences and has been a vocal critic of the American legal system in numerous articles and essays and in books such as Against the Law and Jurismania, The Madness of American Law. And he has an article at the New York Magazine called Hey, Look, More Evidence That Broidy May Have Been Covering for Trump in That Playmate Affair. Welcome to Background Briefing, Paul Campos.
Good to be here.
And there's a very lengthy and well detailed and researched article at the Associated Press, The Princes, the President, and the Fortune Seeker. And it delves into the role of Elliot Broidy, the top fundraiser for President Donald Trump. He recently had to resign as the fundraiser for the Republican National Committee. And it looks as though, just to tie it in with your article about the Playmate Affair, that Broidy had wanted to meet with Donald Trump. But before he was resisted for whatever reasons, I don't know. But then Broidy, through Michael Cohen, who's also Donald Trump's lawyer, arranged a $1.66 million payout to a playmate, Shira Bashard, who apparently or allegedly Broidy had gotten pregnant. And then as soon as that check cleared, the next day, I believe, Broidy was suddenly able to get the photo opportunity that he wanted with President Trump. And then almost immediately, he was able to take that photograph to the Gulf, to these patrons in the Gulf, MBZ and the United Arab Emirates and others, basically to show that he was close to Trump. And lo and behold, suddenly he gets a $600 million contract. So that's not bad. $1.6 million for $600
million? Yeah, that's quite a successful investment, I would say. Just to clarify, what Broidy wanted was a meeting in the Oval Office with Trump, where he would be able to then peddle that to his clients in the United Arab Emirates as evidence that he was in Trump's ear in regard to changing U.S. policy vis-a-vis the Gulf states to be more favorable to the UAE and more hostile to their great rival, Qatar. And so Broidy, in my estimation, agreed to enter into a non-disclosure agreement with Shira Bashard, in which he would be paying Bashard $1.6 million in eight $200,000 installments. Purportedly because Broidy had had an affair with Bashard and got her pregnant, but I've put forward the theory in considerable detail that, in fact, what happened was that Trump was having an affair with Bashard and got her pregnant, and Michael Cohen needed $1.6 million to hush her up and went to Broidy, who's an extremely wealthy businessman and huge Republican fundraiser, and presented him with a proposition, which is, we'll give you sort of maximum access that a lobbyist can have, because an Oval Office meeting is the sort of the sine qua non of of access. If you cover this for us, if you come up with this payment for us, and also if, by the way, if you're willing to take the fall should this NDA become public, which eventually it did, and in April. And I want to emphasize here a point which I don't think has been emphasized enough, which is there's absolutely no evidence for the proposition that there was actually an affair between Elliot Broidy and Shira Bashard. The only evidence is Broidy having released a actually quite cagey and equivocal statement, which implies that he did. But there's no independent evidence of the reality of that at all. And given that the alternative for Broidy of to admitting to have had supposedly had such an affair is to admit that he paid a $1.6 million bribe to the president of the United States so that he could just, so that he could get military contracts out of his friends in the Gulf states. It's not surprising that Broidy would, rather claim to have had what I see as a fictitious affair rather than be revealed for what he has actually been convicted for in the past, which is bribing politicians. Broidy was convicted in 2009 of a felony for having bribed seven members of the New York State Comptroller's Office to funnel pension monies in New York into Brody's hedge fund. So this isn't speculative. This is what this guy does, just as, you know, sleeping with playmates and then paying them to keep their mouths shut is what Donald Trump does. And it should have been a huge red flag to the American media that those two things were, in confluence in regard to this particular story. But instead, quite scandalously, in my view, Brody's sort of, facially preposterous story has just been transcribed by the media, who continue to treat it as an established fact that Brody supposedly had an affair with Sheriff Bouchard, when I don't think he did. I think what he did is he paid a bribe to Donald Trump, and they used the Bouchard business to cover it up.
And the person who brokered the deal, of course, Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen. We learned today that Michael Cohen got paid $400,000 kickback from the Ukrainian government for setting up a White House meeting with the president of Ukraine. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, Michael Cohen is as corrupt a lawyer as you could possibly find. And by the way, he's also barely a lawyer. He has almost no – I mean, his only real client actually is Trump. And another aspect of the story, and in fact, the aspect of the story that put me onto this initially, is that it's just ridiculous to imagine that Elliot Brody, a man who uses only the most top-tier legal talent for all his other, extensive and complex legal dealings, would actually employ Michael Cohen, of all people, to handle this remarkably sensitive matter. But that's the story that has been put forth and which has been swallowed by the American media up to this point.
And again, I'm speaking with Paul Campos. He's a professor at the University of Colorado Law School. He writes for both popular and academic audiences and has been a vocal critic of the American legal system in numerous articles and essays and in books such as Against the Law and Juris Mania, The Madness of American Law. And he has an article at New York Magazine called Hey, Look, More Evidence That Brody May Have Been Covering for Trump in That Playmate Affair. And I had heard that from reliable sources, as they say, that, when Trump was out here doing The Apprentice, he was holed up at the Beverly Hills Hotel in a bungalow. I don't know if it's the same one that Howard Hughes used, but it was the same sort of MO to have, actresses and Trump being such a cheesy sort of, D-movie type bottom feeder. He didn't attract the great actresses like Katharine Hepburn and others that somehow Howard Hughes managed to have relationships with, even though Hedy Lamarr said he was the worst guy in bed that you could ever imagine. But nevertheless, Trump, we learned, for example, from the porn star Stormy Daniels, that she was one of the women that came by the bungalow there, and she wanted to get on The Apprentice, and she had to sit through like an hour or so of Trump watching a documentary on sharks, by which time she had to leave. So that was not a liaison like the original one that her lawyer is pounding the media about. But the long and the short of it is that I had heard that there had been a whole slew of these women come by at the same time as Stormy Daniels, and that he got one of them, who was a Playmate model, got her pregnant. So is anybody working on trying to pin this down? What has been the response, by the way, from Brody's wife? As far as I know, she hasn't divorced him, and she hasn't acted like an indignant, spurned wife.
No, that's another piece of very suggestive evidence. She's hasn't shown any indication to that she's going to leave him or divorce him or anything like that. Which might be explicable for a number of reasons, but one of the most obvious reasons is she's in on this, and she knows that this is just part of the game, as it were, and so she's just going along. She has been, by the way, she is herself as a lawyer and has been involved in some of Brody's more questionable business dealings. But yeah, again, I think the point to emphasize here is that the Sheriff Bouchard affair and subsequent pregnancy and purported abortion is exactly the kind of thing that Donald Trump has a very long track record of doing. By the way, it's also well established that he has unprotected sex with these women who he has liaisons with. So that sort of fits the Sheriff Bouchard story as well. And it's also extremely well established that Elliot Brody is a completely shameless influence peddler who goes up to and beyond the edge of the law in buying the favors of politicians for the purposes of pushing forward his business interests. And so on its face, this story should have set off alarm bells when it came out, especially now that given this, you know, this really fascinating AP story that you mentioned, that details in you know, quite carefully exactly how Bodie's machinations went down in the context of the fall of 2017, where he, you know, he literally writes a check to Shara Bashard, and 2 days later he's in the Oval Office pitching his clients, the UAE, to Trump, and then a few days after that he gets a $600 million contract. It's just like a completely on its face, you know, quid pro quo. And the only part of the story which remains confirmed is this business of whether, in fact, Brody was taking the fall for Trump in regard to this NDA with Shara Bashard and also paying the money. Now, as to whether anybody is, else is looking into that, I don't know. But if there are any aspiring Woodwards and Bernsteins out there, I would suggest that they maybe try to confirm whether Brody actually had an affair with Bashard, which, by the way, there ought to be copious documentation of, because in the original story that broke this in the Wall Street Journal, it was claimed that Brody had had a 1 to 2 year affair with Bashard in which he was paying her for exclusivity in regard to a relationship. If that is actually true, there should be a considerable paper trail, leaving aside things like emails and text messages and things of that sort, that would confirm that Brody had this, actually did have this affair. And I don't think he should be allowed to continue to push this story to the public without him confirming it in some way to journalists, rather than having journalists simply in sort of stenographic manner repeat what he's been telling them about how, oh, no, I haven't actually been bribing the president of the United States. I actually just had this affair with this playmate, which is just extremely implausible for all kinds of reasons. As I outline in a quite extensive article I wrote for New York Magazine 2 weeks ago, which the article that you're referencing from yesterday is a follow-up to. So if people want to look at exactly how implausible the whole Brody Bashard supposed affair is, I would suggest they look at my article in New York Magazine that came out, I think, 2 weeks ago today, which outlines why that whole story makes no sense.
And another player, of course, in this is this Beverly Hills attorney, Keith Davidson, who turns out to be essentially working against his clients. He was Stormy Daniels' a lawyer who made the NDA that now she's getting out of with her new lawyer, who seems to be quite effective. Have you tried to get in touch with Avenatti? Maybe he's the guy.
I know Michael Avenatti, and I know that he's doing excellent work in this area.
Right.
And you know, I hope that other people follow his lead. Notice that all three of the adult industry actresses and publicly connected to Trump, Stormy Daniels, Shara Bashard, and Karen McDougal, were all clients of Keith Davidson, and all of them fired Davidson because they came to the, in my view, quite obviously correct conclusion that Davidson was actually in cahoots with Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's personal lawyer, rather than actually representing them independently as he was required by his obligations as an attorney to do. So Davidson is another just extremely shady character in this entire business. And I think he played clearly quite nefarious role vis-a-vis Shara Bashard, because the story that Elliot Brody tells, which again doesn't make any sense whatsoever, is that Keith Davidson was contacted by Shara Bashard about the affair she supposedly had with Brody, and then Davidson contacted Michael Cohen, which doesn't make any sense because there was no connection between Cohen and Brody. Cohen wasn't Brody's lawyer. But supposedly Davidson called up Michael Cohen, told him the story about Bashard and Brody, which, by the way, is a complete breach of Davidson's duty of confidentiality to his client. And then Cohen, who, again, Brody doesn't even know, calls him up out of the blue and says, oh, I hear this problem you have with this Shara Bashard woman. Why don't I be your lawyer? I mean, I can't, as, you know, as an attorney, I can't tell you how utterly implausible that story is, especially since Brody only hires the most top shelf legal talent, and the notion that he would use Cohen, especially for something like this, is just ridiculous. So this story is completely implausible on its face, and this AP expose that came out a couple of days ago only emphasizes what the real narrative must look like, which is this tit for tat trading of in which Elliot Brody pays off Shara Bashard to get rid of Donald Trump's latest girlfriend problem in return for Oval Office access, which he can use for his extremely corrupt influence peddling in the Middle East.
And as you mentioned, Paul Campos, the Associated Press has done a really thorough investigative piece available by Desmond Butler and Tom Libianco, The Princess, the President, and the Fortune Seekers, that detail all of Brody's dealings, along with George Nader, of course, the convicted child molester, of all the people to have as your emissary and fixer.
By the way, I should mention here, Brody paid the Republican National Committee $185,000 of his own money in order essentially to pay for the right to have Trump have a photograph taken of Nader, the child molester, and the president of the United States, which Nader then could use for the purposes of his own influence peddling. Right. So the sleaziness and corruption of these people basically goes beyond sort of like novelistic limits.
Right.
I mean, it's utterly extraordinary.
Well, I think the AP piece, though, indicates that it's not just the Russian story that is haunting Trump, but I think the Middle East story is just as compromising. Just to back to your article at the New York Magazine, hey, look, more evidence that Brody may have been covering for Trump in that Playmate affair. Brody, of course, is no matinee idol, right? I mean, it's pretty extraordinary to think that Playmate, I mean, I suppose if you could, for $1.6 million, I suppose you could hold your nose or whatever.
Well, the $1.6 million was after the fact.
After the fact, so exactly. So she right. must have been a very, he must be a charming person.
Well, I guess, but again, there's a lot of very rich men in Southern California, and not all of them look like Jabba the Hutt. So, she would have had a lot of options, shall
right.
we say, if she wanted to go down that route.
Right, but just to go back to the crooked NDA that this crooked lawyer, Keith Davidson, who works against his clients, as he did with Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, and presumably since he was also Shara Bashard's lawyer, the NDA, Stormy Daniels' NDA, of course, is the heart of Avenatti's suits. Is there a way to break Shara Bashard's NDA? Has anybody talked to her? I mean, she's obviously. Were you able to talk to her?
I have not been able to talk to her. I've made numerous attempts to reach out to her attorney, who won't talk to me, which is also, frankly, very suspicious under the circumstances. Because if my theory about all this is incorrect, then you would think that her attorney would be out there denouncing it, saying, "No, this is this is absolutely untrue," and so on and so forth. But he will not respond. And of course, I haven't been able to speak to Bashard herself. But the bottom line here is, if the federal authorities are looking into this, which I suspect that they are, I mean, I think this is probably the reason why Michael Cohen's office was raided on April 9th. I think the Southern District of New York, the federal attorneys there were probably concerned, the U.S. attorneys were concerned that evidence might be getting destroyed in regard to this whole business. If they're looking into this, the existence of a non-disclosure agreement to cover up criminal activity is not enforceable vis-a-vis law enforcement. You cannot refuse to talk about an NDA if it's covering up illegal activity. So if there was a bribe here, and what was actually going on was that Elliot Brody was bribing Donald Trump to cover up Trump's affair with Bashard, then Bashard's NDA is certainly no shield against that investigation.
Right. And it's worth noting that the special counsel, Robert Mueller, referred this to the Southern District of New York. He didn't think it was something in his wheelhouse, but he thought it was important enough for them to act on. So may well have been a time factor, since they sent in such they sent in a clean team along with the FBI raid on both Cohen's home, office, and hotel room. They really, the FBI pulled out all the stops, so it was a big deal. And obviously, they've got a lot of material. So stay tuned. Thanks for joining us, Paul Campos.
Thanks for having me.
And again, I've been speaking with Paul Campos. He's a professor at the University of Colorado Law School. He writes for both popular and academic audiences and has been a vocal critic of the American legal system in numerous articles and essays in each book, such as Against the Law and Jurismania, The Madness of American Law. And he has an article in New York Magazine called Hey, Look, More Evidence That Broidy May Have Been Covering for Trump in That Playmate Affair.